For our meditation before we come to the communion, I'm going to invite your attention to the 14th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 14. While I would be tempted to read all six verses, I will zero in on my text for this morning, although the context is actually the entire chapter going back to chapter 13, but I will read just verse 6, or perhaps verses 5 and 6. John 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith to him, that is to Christ, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus had implied that they did know the way, for he had told them before that he came from the Father and that he was going to lead them there. You know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. C.S. Lewis was one of the most brilliant men, at least I would say for the last 50 or 60 years on the horizon, when it comes to dealing with logic and dealing with thoughts and dealing with communication. And C.S. Lewis made that great statement in his book, Mere Christianity, that one cannot patronize Jesus Christ with kind and beautiful words and then deny what he says. If Jesus Christ be whom he says he is, then we must submit to what he's saying. And if he's not whom he claims to be, then let us forget him and go about our business doing what we want to do. There are people who are content to think of Jesus Christ as a good teacher, as the most honest man that ever lived, and on it may go. But not very many people are willing to take seriously what he says and therefore submit to what he's declaring about himself. Jesus Christ has made some startling statements about himself throughout the Gospel of John, and we have been looking at these statements at the communion service, the great I ams of Christ. And this is the last one that we come to this morning. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. This morning I want to share with you three thoughts about the great and perhaps the greatest of the I ams of Jesus Christ. The first that I see in our text, as Jesus Christ claimed to be the way, he is claiming for me, I believe, and for you, that he is the answer to life's destiny. He is the answer to life's destiny. I am the way. The way speaks of a road, speaks of a direction. And no one simply gets in a vehicle. No one simply starts out on a track without knowing where he or she is going, without having some sense of wanting to arrive at some destination. They want to know that they will get there. They want to know how they will get there. And Jesus is saying to Thomas, I am the answer to life's destiny. He had made the statement before, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says to them, where I am going, you know. And Thomas was startled. He was startled because perhaps like you and like me, he wasn't paying attention. In chapter 13, Jesus Christ had declared, I come from the Father and I'm going to the Father. And he says, now I'm going away. And you know where I'm going. And Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. It sounds like human beings, does it not? Did you hear what I said? Weren't you paying attention? Jesus was saying that life has a destiny and man cannot live without a destiny. Man needs to know where he's going and he needs to know how he's going to get there. We might go from here to Nigeria. I used to think when they started non-stop flights, where does it stop? I'm glad that before we get on a non-stop flight, we say we want to go to this place because a non-stop flight might not stop flying until it's out of gas or something. But Jesus is saying that there is a destiny to life. There's a destiny for man. Man has to know that he's not simply here as an accident of history. He knows to know that life is more than just to be born. You read men like Jean-Paul Sartre, and you read men like Thomas Becket. You read even brilliant men like Bertrand Russell. And in spite of what these men know, there is a lack of destiny. There's a lack of knowing where they're going. There's a lack of meaning to the whole existence of their being. And Jesus looked at these 12 or 11 men at this point, and he said to them, I am the way to the answer to your destiny. You want to know what life is all about? No man comes to the Father, because man's ultimate destiny is to stand before God, either as his judge or as his welcomer to eternal bliss. And I want you to note that Jesus Christ claims that man's destiny is not determined by what he knows. It is determined by who he knows. Your destiny is not determined by what you know. You might know all there is to know about math, all there is to know about history, all there is to know about geology. You might know all there is to know about this life. But my friends, if you do not know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, he says you do not know the most important thing about life, and that is where you're going. Destiny. Destiny. I will never forget. It is always fresh in my mind when I first came to Canada over 30 years ago. Where I lived in Central America, it was 65 degrees above zero, and we were freezing. 65 degrees above. The first night I arrived in Calgary, Alberta, it was 22 degrees below zero, and a blizzard that you couldn't see 2 inches ahead of you. And I thought to myself, you are nuts. That's what I thought. I mean, it came to my mind. You are crazy. What are you doing here? But you know, friends, it's interesting. I got so homesick. I had never been away from my mother before. I'm not going to tell you how old I was. Never been away from mom. And I got so homesick, I went to the phone, and I picked up the receiver, and I asked the operator, "Operator, can you tell me how much it costs for a long-distance call to Central America, to be specific, British Honduras in Central America?" And she said, $12 for the first 3 minutes. I said, thank you very much. Then I started to think, what is your destination? Your destination is to arrive 83 miles northeast of here. And the reason you're going there is because there is a sense of destiny. You have been called there. As John and Wendy have said, they've been called to Nigeria. There's a sense of destiny. Life is not roaming from London to California. There's a sense of destiny, a sense of direction. And Jesus is saying when you follow him, there is a sense of direction and there is a sense of destiny. And my friends, when we come to the communion table, we come to celebrate the sense that we have found the answer to our destiny. That we have found the answer to our destination. That we have a sense of direction. And so when we take the bread and when we take the cup, we hear the words of Christ again. I am the way, the answer to life's destiny. And then we come to Christ's second statement. I am the truth. If he is the answer to life's destiny, he is the answer, my friends, to life's reality. See, the word truth here has to do with reality. What is real? It has to do with things as they really are. And this is where the words of C.S. Lewis are so important. If Jesus Christ be whom he claims to be, then you had better listen to him, because he says certain things about life that if they are correct and you avoid them, it is to your own detriment. Someone asked Dr. Billy Graham several years ago, what if when you have preached, and when you have traveled, and when you have done all the things you have done, you come to the end of your life and you find out it isn't true, that there is no heaven, that there is no hell? What if it isn't true? Billy Graham answered, if it isn't true, then I have nothing to lose. But if it's true, you have everything to lose. I am the truth. Jesus says, my friends, as I was studying this, no man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying he is exclusively the way to God. There is no other passage. There is no other way. There is no other truth. When it comes to man's destiny, Jesus Christ said it is found in him. I came from the Father. I go back to the Father. Jesus Christ made the statement that sin keeps a person from reaching life's highest destiny, that is, being with God. He said, this is the reality of things. There is sin in the world. If you avoid what Jesus Christ says about sin, then, my friends, you are bound to become its victim. You're bound to become its victim. The reality of things is that there is something about life that causes you and it causes me to feel there's something wrong with us. There is something wrong in the world. I was telling my class this morning, I was listening to the news last night, and outside the city of Chicago, parents were waiting for the children to come home, or young people to come home from working at this restaurant. Midnight came and they did not come, so they started to call the police. They went to the restaurant where these young people were working and found them all dead. Someone shot them along with the owner of the store for no other reason than to rob them. Something is wrong in our world, friends. It is not the system that is wrong necessarily. It is the people for whom the system has been made. Jesus said the reality of things is like this. There is a bent toward wickedness in the human heart. Out of the heart proceeds all these things, says Christ. My friends, if that is not true, then we may as well close the Bible, for we have no other answer to what's going on in the world. He is the answer to life's reality. God is real. And he has come into human history in the person of his Son. The scriptures are true, and it speaks to the condition of the human heart. We can know what is real in life when we come to him who knows everything there is to know about life. I am the truth. And when we come to the table, and when we hold the cup in our hand, and when we lift the bread and we say, until he comes, we're saying we know that our destiny is secure because he has told us the truth about it. When we are in him, we know the truth about where we're going, and we need not be afraid. We can face life because we know the reality of it. So Christ said, I am the way, the answer to man's destiny. I am the truth, the answer to life's reality. And then he says, I am the life, the answer to life's vitality. I'm smiling to myself because I'm trying to remember. When I was in college, I could run the 100 yards dash in 11 seconds. I used to do a lot of running. Long before the mile was down to 3:52, in those days, in the dark days, I used to do it in 6 to 7 minutes. So just half the time, they're doing it now, a little below the half the time. I used to do a lot of running. And friends, I have some news to tell you. Can't do it anymore. I'm not 20 anymore. In fact, I'm not 30 anymore. We'll leave it right there. But my friends, this is not about running. When Jesus said he is the life, it is not giving me the capacity to run as fast as I can. It is giving me the capacity to know what it is, to have the resilience in my life to have a sense of purpose and enjoyment and a sense of vitality within my own soul. That's what he means. I am the life. I am come that you might have life and have it to the overflow. So life is not what I hold in my hands. Life, my friends, is who I have in my heart. My wife gave me a little plaque several years ago, and I have it in my office. I asked God for everything that I might enjoy life, and he gave me life that I might enjoy everything. Jesus said, I am the life. What is he saying? He's saying that in him we find the absolute sense of our being, why we are who we are. In him we find the ability to rise above. In spite of the circumstances of life, we have a sense of who we are, why we're here, and we're able to look life in the face and say, you are not my life, he is my life. And I have a sense in my own being of reality because I have the life of God in me. Life's vitality. Oh, my dear friends, I was at Parkview Homes last Sunday night, where I speak two or three times a year. And here were these people, 80, 90, some of them very close to being 100 years old. Perhaps one or two are there. But I tell you, as I look over that congregation of elderly citizens, you could see some that have life and some that have it abundantly. And after the service, I was going around shaking hands and greeting the people. And one elderly lady said to me, thank you so much for coming. I am looking forward to going. Life. See, life is not something that ends when they put her in the casket. She's saying, I'm really going to where life really is. But I have it now. And in spite of the deterioration of my body, I still have the sense of having life. Jesus said, I am the way, the answer to man's destiny. I am the truth, the answer to man's reality. I am the life, the answer to man's vitality. It's not in a philosophy, friends. It's a person. And it is in the one who said, I am. Not I will become, I am. And he's here today. He's here by his Spirit to make himself real to us. As we come to the table, we will remember what he did for us at the cross. And Sandra sang for us, we'll remember what he's doing now. He ever lives to intercede for us. Because in Jesus Christ, as someone has said, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. We find it all in Christ, whose death and burial and resurrection and ascension and coming again we celebrate around the table. Let's pray. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for the great I ams of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great, great I am, the way, the truth, and the life. May the Holy Spirit take those words and make them real as we celebrate the table now in Christ's name.